Because she helps me clean up my room because it's really messy.
Because she gives me treats a lot.
I love her because she has the best sandwiches.
Because my mom is so pretty when she comes to church.
Because she's good at art and she's good at making trip.
My mom misses me, Annie. She hugs me so much.
I love my mom because she loves me.
Because I watch movies.
Because she's beautiful.
Because she always helps me.
She prays for me.
Because she brings me to school and church.
I love my mom because she makes me broccoli.
Because she makes the best food ever, like rice, spaghetti, and tuna noodle casserole.
Because she teaches me and she helps me when I get hurt.
Because she does nice things for me and she loves me very much.
I love my mom because she tickles me.
Because she helps me clean stuff up that falls down.
Whenever I do a mess, like, she cleans up for me.
She helps me with my chores.
Because I want her to stay.
Because she hugs me.
Mommy named Bethan.
Mommy's awesome.
Let's take our Bibles for just a few moments together and look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. I want to talk about she believes. There's a woman in Scripture we're going to look at this morning that had a deep faith in God, a woman of prayer. It says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked him. One more time, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Mom, I want to talk to you this morning for the next few moments about a power that is greater than any other power known to man, a power that is greater than infertility, a power that is greater than sickness, greater than disease, a power that is greater than addiction, rebellion, and mental confusion, a power that is so mighty that once it is released by faith, it cannot be stopped. Demons, devils, principalities, and powers are all impotent against this power of which I speak this morning. From the moment this power is invoked, all of hell knows it is over. The battle may rage on, but you may rest assured the war has been won. Mom, the power of which I speak this morning is the power of prayer. Now, I want to encourage every mother here this morning to liberally use this wonderful gift and tool of God, this power of prayer. I promise you, if you'll put this into action, it will relieve a ton of frustrations from your daily life. For the next few moments now, I want you to focus with me on a woman in Scripture by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a believing woman. Not only was she a believing woman, she was a praying woman, a praying mom. She prayed about every aspect of motherhood. She prayed for her child's conception. She prayed for his physical and emotional formation. She prayed about his education, for his salvation, for protection over his young life, power to overcome temptation, and an anointing to be upon his life. Our text simply says it best. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. I want you to consider with me, first of all, Hannah prayed to conceive. Friends, this whole business of creating life is God's business and God's business alone. Someone has said, men may choose when to make love, but only God chooses when to make life. Hannah was barren, unable to conceive. And in her barrenness, she had a broken heart. Her arms ached to hold a child that she could love, one that she could nurture as her own. To make things worse, her husband's second wife, Peninnah, had what we would call a fertile myrtle kind of blessing on her life. She was one that could conceive and give birth with ease. and adding insult to injury, this woman mocked Hannah's infertility and her barrenness. Verse 6 says this, "And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." How easy would it have been for Hannah in a time like this to become sour on life and to become angry with God. However, rather than giving in to these negative emotions, she did the best thing she knew to do, and that was to pray. You know, I've made this observation about life, and I'm sure many of you have made the same observation, and that is that prayer will keep us from bitterness, or bitterness will keep us from prayer. Hannah prayed that she would conceive a son, not just for her own selfish desires, but for a son that would be born that would fulfill the highest purposes and plan of God in this world. She prayed, "God, if you give me a son, I promise I will give him back to you to work in your kingdom all the days of his life." And the Bible tells us God answered that prayer, and she miraculously gave birth to a son whom she named Samuel. The name Samuel literally means asked of the Lord. And so she gave him a name so fitting. She said, "I will give you a name that every time your name is called out, everyone will know you were asked of God and you're a miracle baby. God sent you into my home and into my life." And so she prayed for a son. Hannah prayed for Samuel's physical and emotional formation as well. You know, Hannah covered Samuel's young and formative years in prayer. I can just imagine this mother praying, "Lord, he's more your child than he is mine. Let him become everything that you have created him to be. Let him grow strong. Let your keeping power be over him to keep him from sickness and disease. Give him a bright mind. Fill that mind with the knowledge of God. Lord, you alone know the full potential. Let it be fulfilled and your will be done in this boy." At the age of 2, possibly at the age of 3, Hannah kept her promise made to God. You know, it's one thing to make a promise to God when things are not going well. But then when you have the son of promise, God reminded her, "You made a promise. You said that if I give you a man child, if I give you a son, you will give him back to me so that he may serve me all the days of my life in the priesthood or as a man of God, however God would choose." So Hannah kept her promise. At the age of 2 or 3, she brought him back and gave him to Eli, the priest in Shiloh. And again, God had answered her prayer. And the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 26, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature." That means physically and in favor with the Lord. That is spiritually and with men. Thirdly, Hannah prayed for Samuel's education. You know, Samuel's primary education, though he was to know all the stuff of life, primarily his education was to be a spiritual education under the tutorage of Eli, the high priest, there in the city. And I'm sure that Hannah prayed much. I'm sure she prayed daily when she brought him and left him there at the temple in Shiloh. "God, give wisdom to Samuel. Give him your blessing." But also, I believe she prayed for his tutor, which was Eli. Mom, let me encourage you this morning. No matter how young your child is, begin to pray. Pray for their teachers. Pray for their minds to absorb truth. Pray that their minds will be able to deflect all error. And above all things, pray that your child will know Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Hannah prayed for her son. Hannah prayed for Samuel's salvation as well. Look at verse 28. It says, "So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there." More than health or wisdom, or wealth or all of these other things in life that she could have asked for. Hannah wanted above all things for her son to serve God. You know, friends, in reality, that's all that really counts in the end, whether or not our kids serve God. Pastor Joseph Wanamaker, I cut my teeth in ministry under him. We lived next door to each other, and we had a lot of conversations. If Joseph were to be living today, he'd be some over 100 and some years old. And so he's been in the presence of God now for a number of years. But he would come over and we'd have conversations. And there was something that he would tell me all the time. Now he would say this to me, remember now, I'm new in ministry, I'm young. Sherry and I are married, but we have no children at this time. And Joseph would always tell me this, and he would say it. And if I were to have a nickel for every time he would say it, I'd have a lot of money. Because he would remind me over and over and over of this. And he would say, if my children had never served God, it would have killed me. If my children would have rejected God, it would have killed me. And at the time, married without children, I really couldn't comprehend what Grandpa Wanamaker was trying to tell me. During the young years of our children, they were formative and, you know, they were attached to us as parents. And I admit that even during that time, while they were young and under our roof, I still really did not grasp what Joseph Wanamaker was trying to say. However, today I think I know a little bit about what he means. You see, if your child is healthy, if your child is good looking, if your child is successful, but not serving God, it won't count for anything on the day of judgment. And that is why Joseph Wanamaker would say to me over and over and over, if my kids would not serve God, it would have killed me, it would have crushed my spirit, it would have gave me absolutely sleepless nights. Mom and Dad, let me encourage you to pray for your children. Pray that they will know God. Pray that they will serve God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. Yes, Hannah prayed for her son Samuel's salvation. Fifthly, I want you to notice something else. Hannah also prayed for Samuel's protection in life. You know, as a parent, I cannot imagine the emotions that must have flooded Hannah's heart and mind when she left her toddler off there at the temple in Shiloh. Oh, how she must have prayed. God, I can just imagine her praying. God, I cannot be there to protect him any longer. He is now in your hands, and you must be his protector. God, protect him, body, soul, and spirit. I remember so vividly, and many of you probably remember the same kind of emotions. I remember so vividly leaving each and every one of our three children off at their chosen universities, which happened to be hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Stephanie, our youngest daughter, she went to college in Ellendale, North Dakota, 750 miles away from Milwaukee. And it seemed like I was taking her to the other side of the earth somewhere. Snowstorms would literally shut down the freeways, the highways, and the city for weeks on end. And I would think, our baby is over there in the middle of a snowstorm, miles away from us. God, you've got to protect her. God, you're going to have to watch over her. And besides that, there's no McDonald's for 40 miles. There's no Walmart for 40 miles. There's not a tree for 40 miles. God, watch over her. Stacy and John, they attended North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I remember so vividly as I would drop them off there for their first day of college, how the park right across the street from North Central University, this park, Elliott Park, was full of drunks and panhandlers. And I remember dropping off my daughter, Stacy, our eldest, and I looked in the rearview mirror as I was driving down Elliott Avenue, getting ready to get to the freeway, I-94, to return back home to Milwaukee. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and there was, chasing Stacy and Danielle Stong, two drunks from the park. And I thought, dear God, what am I doing leaving my girl out here in the midst of all of this? But we prayed. And we prayed that God would watch over our kids, and we all do the same. Friends, what you need to understand here is the environment of Eli's household was a mess. The very home that Hannah had placed Samuel into was a place of deep immorality. Eli's sons were immoral, and they were morally bankrupt. They were undisciplined. They were decadent. They stole from the treasury of the temple. They took the best offerings for themselves. They solicited men, women coming for worship. Yes, the Bible says this about Eli's sons. Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the Lord. That's the kind of environment this mother knew her son was in. But because of Hannah's prayers, God kept Samuel pure. Even though he was surrounded by corruption, and even though he was surrounded by rebellion. Mom, let me just encourage you this morning. Pray for the protection of your children. Pray for their friends. Pray for the godless culture that may surround them. Pray against the spiritual attacks of the enemy. Pray for their physical strength, and pray that God will keep them from danger. I love the way my mother would pray for us as we would get in our automobiles to go travel. And I've told you before, but it bears repeating at this moment. She would pray for us if we were going to go from our house to the school, which was only 1,000 feet away. She would lay hands on our car, and she would pray because she knew that after school, we're going to go off and do various things. And she would pray, and she would say, God, I ask that you would place protecting angels on the top of this car. On the bottom, protect it so it will never roll over. Protect its side, protect its front and back. And she would pray on every side of the car. And she would also pray, make sure they don't do anything that you wouldn't do, Lord. Then she'd send us off to school or send us on down the road. Those prayers have kept us. I could tell story after story of God's divine intervention on highways. I can tell you how God has protected me emotionally and spiritually in all the various ways of life. It's all because I was blessed, and many of you were blessed in the same way, to have a praying mother and a praying grandmother, someone that was sowing into your life and watching over your life. And that is what Hannah did. Hannah prayed protection over her son. But also, you'll discover that Hannah prayed for Samuel's spiritual anointing. She wanted his life to stand head and shoulders above all the others. She did not want her son to merely be lost in the masses. She wanted her son, when he would speak, that he could say, "Thus saith the Lord," and that there be an anointing upon his life. And that all that would encounter him for a lifetime, they would all know that Samuel is not like other men. Samuel is a man of God. And she prayed for that kind of an anointing upon her son. Here's what it says in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 19 and 20. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. That wasn't by accident. It was there because God was answering the prayers of this mother. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. And he let none of his words fall to the ground. Literally, he took and listened to all that God had to say, and God listened to all that Samuel had to say. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. They understood this man was different from all others. The touch of God was so evident upon Samuel's life that all could plainly see that God was with him. You know, on this Mother's Day, the very first Mother's Day for me, without my mother, no card to buy, no flowers to send, of all the things that I miss the most is the fact that I knew that my mother prayed for me. And that my mother would take and pray every single Saturday night for the services of this congregation. And not only for this congregation, but where my brother Wesley pastors in Minnesota, and for my sister Gloria as they be out on the highways over 325 days out of the year, preaching all across America and Canada and around the world. See, I know that I am what I am today because my mother loved us and my mother prayed. Here's what the Bible says about this praying mom. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. Hannah prayed for Samuel long before he was even born. She prayed for his conception. David said, I've been wonderfully and fearfully made. You're the one that knit me together within the womb. Yes, friends, I want you to know it's never too early to begin to pray. Grandparents, we ought to be praying for the generation that is yet unborn. And for those of you that are want to be moms, let me encourage you. There is nothing too hard for the Lord our God. This woman was barren, and yet through prayer, God answered, and she had a son that literally shook the world. And I believe that God is going to bring some men and women out of the wombs of those that are in this congregation, whereby your heart, your life, your prayer is going to be, raise up a son, raise up a daughter with a voice to the nations of the world. Yes, pray. She prayed for his conception, prayed for his physical and emotional formation. Prayed for his education, prayed for his salvation, prayed for his protection, and prayed an anointing upon him. Let me say to all of you moms this morning, don't give up. Don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. Keep on believing, keep on praying, because I believe that your miracle is on the way. We want to honor all of our moms this morning. Moms that are, you know, such a gift from heaven. And all the things we could do for you, we have a gift for you, Mom, as well. But I want you to know, the most important, the greatest gift we can give you is to pray that the hand of the Lord will be upon your life. And if you're a son or daughter here today, and you know that you're not serving God, and you've got a praying mom, I want you to know the greatest gift you could give Mom today is not a flower, it's not some gift, it's not a gift certificate or anything of the sort. The greatest gift you could give Mom would be to give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. And then tell Mom today, I've given my life to Christ. Your prayers have been answered, and you will make Mom's day like you could never make it in any other way. And all the church said amen. Just before I have all the moms come, let me pray that God would touch your heart. You're in this room today and you know you've got a loving, caring mom. And you've had conversations with her. And you know the conversation always comes back to, are you serving God, son? I'll tell you why. Because when it's all said and done, nothing else is going to count in the end. The house you live in, the car you drive, the possessions you will gather and garner during a lifetime, the amount of money in the bank, who calls you doctor, who calls you sir, who calls you boss, none of that's going to count when we stand before God. The only thing that's going to count when we stand before God is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why Mom has been praying for you. Will you bow your heads? Close your eyes, shut yourself in with God for a moment. Father, Lord, I believe you're speaking to sons and daughters in this room right now. They know that they've had much prayer offered up on their behalf. And Lord, in this room right now, there is the tug, not of a preacher, not of mom, but the tug of the Holy Spirit. And that tug of the Holy Spirit is bringing us to Jesus so that we can be forgiven, that we might find life, and that we might have life that is eternal. Father, I pray for each one in this room right now that is saying, you know, I've run long enough. I've separated the family long enough. I've caused enough heartache. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And in surrendering to Jesus Christ, I know He's got the best life. He's got the most important roles for me. The blessing of the Lord is worth more than anything else this world has to offer. And so, Lord, we come to You. So glad that You promised if we'll come, no matter what we've done, no matter what a mess we've created in our lives or in the family, You promised us if we had come to You, You would not cast us away. You also tell us where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. You tell us if we will confess our sin and forsake these sins, You'll forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and give us a brand new start. In the quietness of this room right now, all you have to say is, Lord, I'm not running any longer. I know You love me more than anyone else on this earth. And I come to You and I ask You to wash me of my sinful past. Forgive me. Help me to begin to walk a new path and a new way of life. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in the hearts and lives of people of every age. Let this moment be a moment they can share and rejoice in later on. Make sure you tell Mom. Mom, if you need to make a phone call, call Mom, distance away. Mom, I was in church today, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You guide them, direct them, and bless them all the days of their life. We thank You for this day of brand new beginning. In Jesus' name, amen.